This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Neil Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop. Hey, what's that sound?
Everybody. No evidence of collusion.
Do you believe that there are elements inside the intelligence community or the FBI that are leaking information, like the name of Mike Flynn, like perhaps the fact that Attorney General Sessions met with the Russian ambassador to undercut the Trump presidency?
I think that's pretty clear. And in fact, I mean, there's
pretty clear several, what?
It's pretty clear that that's happening. There's even been stories written about it in numerous newspapers talking about how they left breadcrumbs around to hurt the Trump administration.
So you believe that there are people inside these intelligence communities?
I don't think so anymore. I think it was largely people maybe who were there, had classified information, who are now no longer there and decided to leak it.
To what end?
I think to hurt, I mean, clearly to leak Michael Flynn's name talking to the Russian ambassador, that was clearly designed to hurt General Flynn and the president's national security advisor.
Do you think this is all going to be cleared up with your hearing tomorrow or not?
Well, this is the beginning. And what we're trying to get to the bottom of, I mean, this is just the beginning. Another week from now, a week from Tuesday on the 28th, we have an additional hearing with at least three more witnesses. So we're trying to get to everyone who, for lack of a better term, was at the crime scene. And we're trying to bring them all in, see what they knew, when they knew it, if they knew about the leaks, if they knew about General Flynn's name being unmasked. These are all questions that we need to get to the bottom of.
But to make it clear, when you talk about the crime scene, you're talking about the leaking of names of Americans that shouldn't have been leaked as part of our electronic surveillance. You're not talking about anything involving the Trump campaign.
Because that's the only crime that we know has been committed right now. That we know. We know a law has been broken, and we need to get to the bottom of it. As it relates to the Russians, we are happy to investigate it, because I think Putin is a bad actor on the world stage.
Well, there's lots of cats to chase after here. And, of course, that's Devin Nunes, the California congressman, meeting with Chris Wallace. Chris, do you think by tomorrow you're going to have all the guys? Come on, are you kidding me? When does that ever happen? We should all be so lucky that everybody's cards would be on the table here, that we know who's leaking the information and what is going on. I mean, is there any doubt in your mind that there are people here in play in our government, you know, being paid by we the people, who want to do everything they can to upend the Trump administration? That is obvious. But, you know, the challenge you have, as we've said many times, in the absence of fact, opinion rules. And, you know, we'll see how far this committee, the Foreign Intelligence Committee, what they can do here to come down to the truth of the matter. There's been reports in the newspaper. It's not, you know, like all of a sudden Trump just, you know, got a hair and thought, okay, well, I haven't tweeted something, so let me throw something out there. I mean, the New York Times, the Post has reported on this. This has been going on, and it's not just been one. It's been many reports. And, you know, and we're looking into FISAs. But, see, part of the problem that drives us nuts is that we don't deal like, you know, we're not attorneys. You know, Scott, we're not looking. I mean, it's kind of like, I don't know if you have one of those children, and one of those children really special, because I have one, is that, and I told him, I said, I think you need to be an attorney, because if you don't say it exactly, if you don't state the crime exactly the way it happened, then there's plausible deniability, and they can kind of get away with, you know, kind of, basically they're lying to you. I mean, you would see it as lying. But they see it as, no, I didn't exactly lie. You know, I'm telling you the truth as I know it right now. And this is what I find in dealing with the, these attorneys. And, you know, it's like, well, you didn't dot the I exactly, so I have plausible deniability. So it's not really true. You know, Trump says wiretap. Well, you know what we meant. And I think most people understood what he meant by wiretap. But let's bring in the attorneys, you know, send in the clowns. And let's say, well, it's not exactly wiretapping because it's this new technology and new understanding. Devin Nunez and the committee is going to have a lot of fun. You know that. And, of course, we are, too, because we get to hear the results that we want to hear and not get.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
You know, you wonder about the resources that are wasted, the fact that here we are looking at $20 trillion in debt. We've been so frustrated over the years, certainly, you know, those of us baby boomers who have seen this country time and again miss the mark. This is why it's so important that we get this country back on track. I mean, what kind of country are we going to turn over, you know, to our children and our grandchildren? This is what concerns me greatly. I know it does you as well. So welcome to Bill Martinez Live as the discussion continues. And what we're going to talk about next is really symptomatic of the same thing that's been happening here in America, and that is the rewrite, the disturbing rewrite of history. In this particular case, the title of this book is Reclaiming Israel's History, Roots, Rights, and the Struggle for Peace. David Brog is with us right now. A little bit on David's background so you can appreciate what we have here. David is a graduate of Princeton University and Harvard Law School, executive director of the Maccabee Task Force, and was the founding executive director of Christians United for Israel. He served as chief of staff to Senator Arlen Specter and staff director of the Senate Judiciary Committee. He also worked as an executive at America Online, practiced corporate law in both Israel and the United States. David Brog, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks a lot for having me, Bill.
And great to have you here, you know, to talk about Israel. I mean, there's so much misunderstood, and even to this day with all the discussion that's been, you know, taking place, you know, for those of us, and I will give, you know, full disclosure here, I have supported CUFI, Christians United for Israel, for a long time. In fact, last year I went to Israel with a group of CUFI enthusiasts and members and pastors, and it was a real blessing. It really opened my eyes to, you know, what is happening, you know, the reality and how much we're not getting in terms of information here in the United States about Israel. And meanwhile, you know, we're in this 50-year battle. It seems to be an untenable and impossible battle of trying to get peace there in Israel.
Well, first of all, Bill, glad to connect with a CUFI member, and I hope that trip was a blessing for you.
Oh, I tell you, endlessly, David, I mean, there's not a day that goes by that I am not grateful, because over the years, I mean, I've invited many times, and every time I was to go, there was, you know, we could say all hell was breaking loose, and my family would say, Dad, you know, probably not a good time to go. But this time I really felt this was the time to go. And there were still some crazy things that were going on. I mean, even up until, as I told our audience, the day before we left, there was a woman in Bethlehem. We weren't even allowed. I mean, here's a group of Christians wanting to go to the birthplace of Jesus. We weren't allowed to go to Bethlehem, okay?
That's right.
And the day before we left, a woman is murdered in the presence of her four children by a radical in her own home.
Yeah. You were there during what they call the stabbing intifada.
Exactly.
And, you know, this is exactly right. What I wanted to do, in a sense, was to take the experience you had in Israel and what you learned in Israel and bottle it, you know, put it into a book so people who can't get over there can at least understand the history and the truth. You know, why is it that Palestinian young men were going into their mother's kitchens and taking long knives out and wandering over to their Jewish neighbors, and in the case when you were there, stabbing a mother to death while the children were in the home. And this mother heroically pulled the knife deeper into her own gut so that the terrorist couldn't take it and use it to kill the rest of her children.
Right.
Why is that? I believe it's because that young Palestinian is raised and he's taught lies about the conflict. He's taught that the Jewish people have no connection to the land of Israel and no right to be there. Remember, Yasser Arafat, the prior Palestinian leader, actually sat at Camp David with Bill Clinton and looked Bill Clinton in the eye and said there was never a Jewish temple in Jerusalem. If there was never a Jewish temple in Jerusalem, then where exactly did Jesus go to pray and teach?
Exactly.
But they're so determined to erase any Jewish connection to this land that that's what they do. So they glorify terror. They incite to terror. They name streets and town squares after Palestinians who kill Israelis. They name sports teams and Boy Scout troops after murderers. They deny any Jewish connection to the land. So a young Palestinian growing up says, hey, making peace with Israel, that's cowardice. That's allowing a usurper, that's allowing a conqueror to get away with stealing our land. And they go out and kill. What they need to know, and what Americans need to know, is the history of the connection of the Jewish people to the land of Israel. The way that the Jewish people have sought at every turn to compromise, make painful compromises with, and make peace with the Palestinians. And they really need to understand the fundamental justice of Israel's right to exist and struggle for survival. That's the history we need to share. That's the history I know can make a difference right here at home, especially on our college campuses where so much nonsense is taught. But my real hope is that it trickles back into the Middle East and Palestinians stop viewing compromise with Israel as cowardice, but as a virtue and as a necessity.
Well, you mentioned Yasser Arafat, and it's been well documented that he was very clear that anybody that negotiated with Israel gave up anything less than 100% of what they believed was in the best interest of Palestinians was an infidel and deserving of, being killed and eradicated. And at several points, there's been opportunity. I think you cite in your book, I think 3 to 5 occasions where Palestinians had a chance to have their own land and they've just rejected it. They're really not interested in their own land as much as they're interested in Israel no longer existing.
That's exactly right. In the book, I discuss five separate occasions, probably more, but I picked the five main ones. 1937, 1947, 1967, 2000, and 2008. Each time the Jews of Palestine and the Israelis offered the Arabs of Palestine, later the Palestinians, a state of their own. And each time the Palestinians rejected it. Sometimes they just rejected it with words, but sometimes they rejected it violently with suicide bombs and stabbings. And so you realize, as much as a lot of people in the prior administration, the Obama administration, as much as a lot of college professors don't want to acknowledge it, this conflict isn't driven by Israel's refusal to compromise. The Israelis have shown time after time after time their willingness to make painful compromises
exactly.
for peace. The conflict is driven by the fact that the Palestinians refuse to accept a Jewish state in that land in any size, shape, or form. Look, I know great Palestinians. I know wonderful Palestinians who want peace. Their leaders, however, have made dreadful mistakes time after time after time. That's why there's still a conflict today.
Yes. And as you say, David, the younger generation has been very well indoctrinated to this anti-Israel cause, and that is tough to overcome. You know, we've been doing this for 50 years, and it is the exact, it's the epitome of insanity that's been taking place here, is that we just do not have the right ground and the right temperament and I guess the mentality to find peace. There's got to be something in a huge way, even though we had the 1967 Six-Day War. And I want to talk a little bit more about that and about your book, Reclaiming Israel's History.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Then call 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification, and our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
Being self-reliant is about being prepared and to do what you need to have your own source of renewable energy. Portable Solar LLC offers the most powerful EMP hardened solar system on the market that is transportable from place to place. And the best part, it's very affordable. Contact them at PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875. Sol Arc EMP hardened solar generator energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today or go to PortableSolarLLC.com to check out their patent pending technology.
Reminding us of what makes our country great. Bill Martinez, live.
This is why we have to keep the past in front of us, ladies and gentlemen. Why I appreciate David Brog being with us. We're talking about Israel's past and history and how it's been commandeered. Same thing, like I said, it's been symptomatic of what's happening here in the United States. As George Orwell wrote in 1984, he says, "Who controls the past controls the future. Who controls the present controls the past." And this is what's been going on. And as David and I were talking, I mentioned right before break David, that, you know, I thought it was quite ironic that after the Six-Day War, I mean, you talk about the miracle of miracles. Israel is surrounded by its Arab enemies, outnumbered, some have said, as many as 20 to 1. I mean, it was impossible. There was no way that Israel should have won that conflict. But in 6 days, by the grace of God, and clearly the hand of providence was with Israel, because I don't know how else to explain that.
No, I think you're not alone there, Bill. A lot of people looking at that war, you know, before the Six-Day War, Israel was so frightened. Egypt was massing its army on Israel's border, and Egypt had an alliance with Syria and Jordan, and Iraq wanted in. Israel was so afraid, they actually dug tens of thousands of graves in public parks because they were expecting to suffer massive casualties, and many were afraid it would be the end of the Jewish state of Israel so shortly after it had been reborn. Mm-hmm. The way in which Israel defeated these far larger Arab armies in only 6 days, it's very hard for someone of faith not to look at that and see the hand of God and see a miracle. It should not have happened, and it happened. But because of that, as we were discussing, I think the Arabs gave up the hope that they could destroy Israel militarily. They would try again, but they gave up that hope. And that's when they began this diplomatic assault, this diplomatic offensive, to try to sever Israel from its most crucial ally, the United States, by creating a narrative in the United States that paints Israel as the aggressor, Israel as the bully, and the Palestinians as the victim.
Mm-hmm. Well, in your book, you cite that up until that period of time, interestingly enough, it was very much, even on the international side, for the most part, pro-Israel. Israel could do no wrong. Now, suddenly, the narrative got reversed. I mean, you got to hand it to the Arabs what they were able to do. But, again, in much the same way as World War II, which gave birth to Israel, oh, by the way, in one day, as God said it would happen. You know, here it is. They changed the narrative and purport this big lie that Israel is the evil one in this whole situation.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, in this day and age, where I think we spend less time studying history, it's easy to mischaracterize Israel, because Israel is the one in the West Bank today, right? Israel is, quote-unquote, occupying Palestinian land in the West Bank. So Israel must be the bully, the aggressor, and if Israel would only leave the West Bank and give the Palestinians a state, then there'd be peace and flowers blooming in the Middle East. The only way you know that's not true is if you go back in time, and right, you understand that, like we were saying earlier, the Israelis have repeatedly offered the Palestinians a state in this land. The Palestinians have repeatedly said no. The problem isn't that Israel's not offering. The problem is that there's something about Palestinian leadership that refuses to acknowledge Israel's right to exist. The day I'll be optimistic again about peace is the day I see that the Palestinians are no longer teaching their children that there was no Jewish temple in Jerusalem, that the Jews have no connection to the land, that the Jews are a bunch of European colonialists, colonizers. The day I see them teaching that, yeah, the Jews have a connection here, yeah, the Jews have a history here, yeah, they have rights here, then I'll say, wow, you know, well, we've entered a new era where compromise is actually possible because mutual recognition is possible.
Exactly. Well, even, you know, and I think some people are kind of surprised to find out the Jews really never left the homeland.
That's
perception
right.
is that they did, but the fact of the matter is they've always been there.
Yeah, it's one of the myths I try to deal with within the book, because this is a myth that even Israel's friends spread, because I think it's a good story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about how the Romans destroyed the Jewish temple in 70 AD and destroyed Jerusalem and exiled the Jewish people. And so there's this idea that after 70 AD, the Jews were exiled and they never returned to their homeland until the creation of the State of Israel in 1948. The fact is, yeah, the Romans did exile a lot of Jews, and they did kill a lot of Jews, and they did destroy Jerusalem. But the amazing thing is that millions of Jews remained. Jews continued to be the majority in the land of Israel until approximately the 5th century. Despite the Muslim conquest in in the 7th century, Jews and Christians were still a majority in the land of Israel well into the 10th century. And every time that Jews were allowed to live in peace in their own land, they sent word out to Jews around the world that it's okay, we can live here, they're not persecuting us so terribly. Jews would flock back home, and they would begin to build and develop. What you see today in the modern state of Israel, Jews returning to their land and building this startup nation, this high-tech nation, it's only the latest in a series of returns. And each time the Jews were allowed to return home, they started building and developing and turning their homeland into a startup nation.
Exactly. And I think, David, that's where people are really surprised to realize. I mean, again, if you rewrite the history, you don't understand that Israel, for all intent and purposes, was a wasteland. The Arabs had a chance. I mean, they were there. The Romans were the ones that kind of, they manufactured the whole idea of Palestine, right?
Well, the Romans were the ones who decided after the Jews rebelled a second time in 135 A.D., the Bar Kokhba revolt. The Romans got really tired of these Jews and their rebellions. And so they decided to really, they murdered hundreds of thousands of more Jews. They exiled hundreds of thousands more. And they decided to forever try to break the bond between the Jewish people and the land of Israel by changing the name of the country from Judea, which is what it was called, you know, Judea, the land of the Jews, to Palestine. And they took the name Palestine from the Philistines, the historic biblical enemy of the Jewish people who lived on the coast and what today is Gaza. They said, we're not even going to let the name of the land reflect your connection to this land. To this day, that is a leading strategy of Israel's enemies, deny this connection of the Jewish people and the land of Israel, to deny this history. What started with the Romans is today carried on. Every time a Palestinian textbook writes that the Jews never lived in the land of Israel.
Again, a big lie to afford their presence and, their argument, which, the one thing about when you argue a lie, it just can't sustain itself. You're just forcing, you're forcing something on people that they know are a lie, that is a lie. And as you say, reasonable Arabs and Palestinians, appointed Palestinians, would say, hey, look, we enjoy it. I mean, we can go in and out of Jewish-controlled areas in safety, but there's no way Jews can go in and out of their areas, right?
Yeah, no, there are big signs going into Judea and Samaria, the West Bank, saying no Israelis allowed beyond this point because it's so dangerous. Because, unfortunately, Palestinian leaders have schooled Palestinian people that murdering Israelis is a virtue. To this day, the Palestinian government richly rewards any Palestinian who's sent to jail because they've attacked Israelis. Or any time a Palestinian dies in a suicide attack, their family gets a rich financial reward from the Palestinian government. So Israelis know it's dangerous for Jews to go and be amongst the Palestinians, so they forbid it. But yeah, Palestinians, once they get a security check, they're allowed into Israel to work and to shop and to do whatever it is, to go to hospitals to get medical treatment. That's the way it could be, Bill.
Exactly.
If there were mutual recognition and peace.
Well, David, and that's what I drew out of your book, is the possibilities of what could be peace, true peace in Israel amongst Jews and Palestinians. Could it be so? But it is important, first of all, to understand Israel's history, and your book, Reclaiming Israel's History, absolutely critical to that cause, Roots Rights and the Struggle for Peace. David Brock on Bill Martinez Live. David, thank you so much. Great book.
Thank
appreciate
you, Bill. Good really job. Appreciate having me.
You got it. 29 minutes after the top of the hour. We've got more coming up. Stay right where you are.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible.
possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guarantee quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. Now there's finally a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. You can even add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's the Transcend Mini CPAP. And right now, you can try Transcend absolutely risk-free for 10 days. So call now, 1-800-962-2358. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. Enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere. To receive your 10-day in-home trial, call MiniCPAP.com now. 1-800-962-2358. Again, that's 1-800-962-2358.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Attention! If you or a loved one had a total or reverse shoulder replacement between 2011 and 2016 and suffered serious complications, including dislocation and loosening, you may be entitled to substantial compensation. Evidence indicates that these devices can dislocate and loosen, causing severe pain, and may require additional revision surgery. If you or a loved one had a total or reverse shoulder replacement and suffered a dislocation and loosening requiring a revision, call 800-598-0696. If you or a loved one had a total or reverse shoulder replacement between 2011 and 2016 and suffered serious complications, including dislocation and loosening, you may be entitled to substantial compensation. Time is limited to file a claim. Act now. For more information and a free consultation, call 800-598-0696. That's 800-598-0696. Again, that's 800-598-0696. Call now.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you?
Oh, you needn't worry. I trust your taste implicitly. Thank you.
Bill Martinez, live.
They only got away with it because we let them, ladies and gentlemen. This is why it's a government of for, by, we the people. So we urge you to get activated. And for those of you that have, congratulations. It really doesn't take a lot of time. You'd be surprised, even if you just set aside 5 minutes a day. That's our mission, our encouragement to you. 5 minutes a day to invest in your country's future. We need you. All hands are needed to be on deck. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. You know, there was a lot discussed when Obamacare was in play, particularly when it came to medical device. Remember the medical device tax and all that controversy? And I think what we're realizing now is we're reopening this whole issue of the Affordable Care Act, looking back, you know, 7 years after the fact and realizing, hey, this thing was very expensive. You know, the CBO said it was going to cost X, and it was really... Yeah, you know, everything they could do to stay away from using the trillion, the T word, trillion dollars. But the administration had to do what they could to offset expenses, whether it was, you know, one tax form or another, which the Supreme Court finally had to come up with and say, oh, you mean a tax, right? And, you know, it was interesting how activated the Supreme Court got in order to hold the Affordable Care Act into place. But here we are now, 7 years down the road, taking a look and, you know, looking at the inner workings of Obamacare. And, of course, very problematic was the medical device tax. And here to help you understand even more so about it and if it has a future in the revision of a health care plan that we hope will be win-win for all concerned that our Congress is currently dealing with. Megan Alonzo, a CEO of Emua Services, a company that is on a mission to motivate, equip, and lead 1 million medical product entrepreneurs and startups to grow their ideas and products by 2020, is with us. Megan, good to have you with us on Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Aloha. Very good this morning.
I love it. I love talking to my sisters in on the island. My daughter is here from Maui, so we've been hugging necks, and you know, she's been here and sharing our brand new grandson, who is about 7 months old. So you imagine how much fun we're having here.
Oh, that's great. Well, I used to live in the islands, and I'm in an island outside of Washington, D.C. now. Well, not necessarily an island, but sometimes it feels like that.
I was going to say, I'm sure it does, especially with some of this political environment being what it is, and maybe you want to be more like on an island. But let's talk about the repeal of the medical device tax, Megan.
Sure. Well, just to give you guys some more background, this was enacted in 2013, but because of its unpopularity, it was suspended in 2016 and 2017. So I am active in the medical device industry, and here in PC we have a group called AdvaMed. So AdvaMed's been very intense on moving this repeal forward. And one of the biggest reasons why I want to see it repealed is I work with a lot of startups and entrepreneurs, like you mentioned in the intro. And one thing that this tax does is it taxes companies on their products before they're even products. So they're before these companies are pre-revenue, they're in pre-revenue. They don't have any money coming in because they don't have a product to sell yet, but they're taxed already to support the ACA. And just a lot of people were upset with that, and it's not helpful. If you're trying to get new products to the market and help a lot of people, this tax doesn't help that.
You're killing the incentive.
Yeah.
I mean,
right out the gate.
I mean, who wants to participate in that program? Hey, I'm going to go do something else until these knuckleheads figure it out. But meanwhile, at what expense? I mean, how many product innovations did we lose along the way? Not to mention, you know, the very heartbeat of this country, the engine of this country, are the entrepreneurs, the small businesses. And, you know, why pick on the medical device folks? You know, this is, again, speaks to how desperate the Affordable Care Act was all about. And they were just trying to figure out, okay, how are we going to pay for it? Oh, yeah, let's come up with this medical device tax. Well, great. At what expense? You know, once again, you know, we're killing business, and now we wonder why. You know, some of us knew exactly why, but some are surprised to find out that all of a sudden you get a business-oriented president and administration in place, and, you know, it looks rather bright here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the good thing about moving forward on this is a lot of people do see this, and it is a bipartisan effort to repeal it. So that's great, and hopefully we'll see here in the next few weeks what shakes out with it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the fight, you know, the good fight is underway, and we need to encourage those to continue to fight in our best interest. Megan, let's give our audience an idea of some of the latest medical innovations that you've seen over the years, in spite of the stifling regulations that have been put upon them.
There is lots of good things. I just moved here from San Diego, where biotech kind of takes the lead, and there's still devices in biotech. And what I really see is the in vitro diagnostic niche taking off, as well as, you know, Illumina is headquartered there in San Diego. So anything having to do with genome sequencing or gene mapping, anything, using that not only to detect diseases in an earlier state, but on a preventative level too. So we're seeing some things that they're really exciting. They're also kind of scary. Mm-hmm. I have personally not had my genome sequenced because there's just some bioethics issues around that, about who's getting that data in the end. And I don't want people to have access to that, especially, you know, think about what if your life insurance company got a hold of that. And how does that affect your life insurance policy? So beyond that, there's also a lot of push for antibiotic resistance. So we do have a problem in this country with just the superbugs and all these different things. So there's a lot of companies working on that and helping relieve that problem using using other methods to treat these bacteria besides these antibiotics that have been overused.
Mm-hmm. So these things have been developed and are developing, and you've got to imagine how much more is just on the horizon here. What do you see, in the next 5 years, Megan?
You know, as far as the antibiotic resistance, and this may sound so simple, but it's not really used. Usually, if you go to the doctor and you say, "Hey, I have a sore throat," they say, "Okay, here's some medication." But one simple thing that's going to be out in the next 5 years is, okay, let's take this test to see if it's a bacteria or a virus, and where do we go from there? And that's saving healthcare so much money as far as what if it is a virus, and I give you antibiotics first, and then you've killed all the good bacteria in your system, and then you have to go back to the doctor again to actually get medication for the virus, even if they give you medication at all.
No.
So sometimes they don't. They just tell you to go home. So all of that time and money, your time, your money, and then the doctor's time, your insurance company's money could have been saved.
Exactly. Well, when you have antibiotics, it's going to destroy the biotics. Now you need the balancer. You need the probiotics in order to balance out what's been destroyed by the antibiotic medication. So you're in a little bit of a roller coaster ride here. But this is all, this is all part of the process. There's so much more that is going on, Megan. We can talk about cybersecurity or cyber insecurity in medical devices as well. But I want you to direct people, because we're out of time here. We've got about 20 seconds left. Why don't you direct the good folks to where they can go for more information?
Sure. You can catch me on my website. It's imua-services.com. That's I-M-U-A. And if you are looking to develop a medical product of your own, I have a special training there for you, and I'll make that available so you can check it out.
Well, that's great. Megan Alonzo, CEO of Imua Services, a company that's on a mission to motivate, equip, and lead a million medical product entrepreneurs and startups to grow their IDN products by 2020. Why not? Megan, thank you so much. Appreciate it. It's 18 before the top of the hour.
From Samaritan's Purse and Franklin Graham comes Facing Darkness. In 2014, as the Ebola virus was devastating West Africa,
the numbers of new cases and deaths are still rising.
International relief organization Samaritan's Purse stepped up.
God has called us to care for the dying, to care for those that are suffering.
We can't say we're Samaritan's Purse and not help.
My phone rang. One of our doctors, Kemp Brantley, has Ebola.
And then David looked at me and he said, "You too have Ebola."
We're there to save life. We're there in your name. Why?
Despite the fact that things were out of control, we knew that God was in control.
God puts you in places and supplies the strength to deal with.
Jesus Christ didn't run. We run to the fire. We don't run away from it.
Facing Darkness, a true story of faith. In select cinemas for one night only, Thursday, March 30th. For theaters and tickets, go to facingdarknessmovie.com. That's facingdarknessmovie.com.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calvin Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
President Trump is cleaning up Washington, but the media and Barack Obama want to stop him. They've declared total war against him. Now, David Horowitz's big agenda reveals Obama's secret plan to destroy Trump. Rush Limbaugh says you must read Big Agenda. Newsmax calls it the best Trump book yet. Get Big Agenda, a number one bestseller, or check out our free offer. Call 800-NEWSMAX, 800-NEWSMAX, or go online at BigAgenda411.com. That's BigAgenda411.com.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez, live.
Yeah, if you don't want to take responsibility, then you probably, you know, you're going to have a tough time here. This could be the wrong gospel, wrong church here, you know, as I say. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here with you. Bob Waliszewski, Focus on the Families, Director of Media and Culture, Director of Focus's world-famous plugged-in department that we love so much. Robert, how are we doing, buddy?
Hey, Bill. Hey. Happy Monday.
Hey, it is, isn't it?
And I'm doing
especially for Disney. I mean, wow. I mean, Beauty and the Beast goes boffo at the box office, huh?
$170 million. They made the annual budget of Focus on the Family twice in a three-day weekend. I mean,
wow. Yeah, it was a $300 million gamble for them is what they had on the line. And the first weekend, they're in the black. I mean, they between what they did, here domestically, and I think they did another 180 internationally. So they're talking the numbers, $350 million. It's all good for Beauty and the Beast.
Well, here's my take on it, just a real quick version. I thought the film was absolutely delightful. I thought the film was incredibly well done. I loved the music from 1991 and the animated brought again to the live action. I liked the new songs. I thought they added it added a bit to the storyline. Well, we learned a bit about Belle's mom and what was happening in her situation. But as positive as I am, we still have an activist director, Bill Condon, who 3 weeks ago in an interview with Attitude magazine out of the UK, he boasted, "Hey, I've got my film coming up. I've got Disney's first gay moment ever." And of course, USA Today ran with the story, and then people started asking us before we saw it. And then when I saw it, I said, wow, he followed through on what he promised. Now, was it explicit? No. But his activism showed up, and it was a disappointment. 15 seconds worth of material, if it had been edited, in my opinion, in about three brief scenes, would have made this movie, probably would have been nominated next year when we sit down as a team to nominate our best pictures of the year. We have a plugged-in movie awards for kids, teens, adults, and Christian. Those are our four categories. This would have been nominated, probably would have won too, but But as it is, that 15 seconds of activism is inappropriate, in my opinion, and a deal breaker for me.
Right. Well, there are some people. I had one listener who responded on my Facebook, John, who said it was, he said it was honestly nothing. This was his perspective. He said, I really think it was blown out of proportion. I've quit watching shows because I felt they went too far. And this is what's happening is America is making their choices with their pocketbook. Yes, they did $170 million. Maybe on the surface looks pretty good. But what did that 15 seconds of activism, what did that do? Could they have done $300 million domestically?
You know, it's interesting because my team, we were talking about that this morning, and I had to chuckle because I shrugged my shoulders and said, oh, wow, look how what it made, $170 million. And one of my team members said just what you said. It said, yeah, but if it hadn't been for Plugged In, it would have made $300 million. And, of course, he was being a bit facetious, but you're absolutely right. Somewheres there were people that were staying home, absolutely were staying home, mm-hmm. who looked at it and said, as for me and my household, we're not going because right. we don't want to support Disney's activism. And I knew that if the movie bombed, Disney would get the message. But I knew that if the movie did well, what message did that send Disney? Well, I tell you what message it sent. That as a rule, people in America really don't care if you want to put in a little gay moment into your kids' cartoon or into your live action that are geared toward children. America doesn't care. It's like, go for it, Disney. Go for it, DreamWorks. Go for it, you know, whatever. All the companies out there working on kids' stuff, go ahead and put it in. We really don't care as a nation. And that's not the message that we need to be sending to Hollywood.
Well, what they're finding out the hard way, though, is they start to deceive themselves because look at what happened with the NFL. They thought certain things weren't going to matter. Look at some of these Hollywood celebs that thought, it's not going to matter, you know, them taking an activist stand. And they're paying a price. Sometimes it's not necessarily immediate, you know, even the Bible says that sometimes we think, in essence, this is the Bill Martinez rendition, that we think we get away with it. And as a result of thinking we get away with, you know, these things, that sin becomes more complicated or the results thereof become more complicated. I mean, to the point, who would have thought, for example, ESPN's budget would be falling off and they'd be losing some, you know, they've been losing some behind the camera people for a while, but now it's in front of the camera people as well. So they're in a bit of a tailspin, and people are starting to realize, look it, you know, character does count, morality does count, and you may think you got away with something. All right, so you're $50 million, you covered your expenses, made some money, that's okay. But what is this going to do for the brand in the long term when for so long, Bob, as you know, Disney has been the stalwart of family-interested product for the most part, and, you know, we have... We've supported that, but now are we going to back off now?
We'll see. Right in front of me on my screen as we're talking, I have Dr. Jim Dennison sends out a daily e-newsletter, and I'm on his list. And he has some pretty interesting ones. And as of Friday, here's this one from Friday. He quotes a gay attorney who wrote an op-ed to the Orlando Sentinel. So now you would think this gay attorney would be, hey, yay Disney, you know, we're so think you went the courageous route, but that's not what how he saw it. He said, quote, somewhere along the line, Disney went off course. No longer did it see itself as a defender of children's innocence. Instead, it saw itself as a conduit to social change. Walt Disney became Harvey Milk. Ooh. End of quote.
Wow.
Now, that's an ouch if it came from Billy Graham. Mm-hmm. That's an ouch if it came from Jim Daly. That's an ouch if it came from any Christian leader, whatever. But this is not. This is a gay man who's an attorney in Florida. His name is Joseph R. Murray II. I know nothing about him, except I'm reading his quote, and I would just say, Joseph, you and I see it exactly right. Disney exactly. did go off course, and Disney did not see itself as a defender of children's innocence. Instead, it saw itself as a conduit to social change. And that is not the purpose of cartoons. It's not the purpose of live action like this new Beauty and the Beast. It's not the purpose. It's to entertain our kids, not to change our kids.
Exactly. Well, it will be interesting, you know, how long these numbers hold up, number one. Number two, DVD sales. You know, what kind of indication that will give us as well, Robert. What do you think?
You know, I'm afraid that the DVD sales will probably be good. Again, I think it's the unknown number. Yes, it's $170 million at the box office, but really, could it have been $210 million? Probably. Is there about $40 million out there who stayed home? Probably. DVD sales, it'll probably do very well, and they'll go, oh, yay, look what the bottom line. But again, how many more? With just some editing, would people have stayed home this weekend if they would have edited, if the last minute Disney would have called for 15 seconds worth of editing? No, it still would have done very, very well. There would have been no one staying home. Instead, there would have been people going. It's a financial bonus for Disney to do the right thing on behalf of our kids.
Exactly.
But somehow they didn't see it that way.
Is there an opportunity here? You know, just thinking out loud. The Disney, you know, and maybe some of these movie houses give us two versions. Say, okay, if you want the secular version here, if you want, I mean, you know, like you say, 15, are you kidding me? For 15 seconds, you're going to put, you know, $40 million. I mean, of course, that's a unknown number. We don't know because you don't know until you know. But certainly, you know, I'm sure some of these people will run, you know, some tests and, you know, some evaluations, and they could probably, you know, project some sort of estimate on it. As to the loss.
Go ahead. I'm going to jump in here real quick and say some of that's already been happening potentially on international theatrical releases. Malaysia, for instance, and Indonesia, both when they heard the buzz after USA Today ran that story, said, we don't want the version that you have coming to our countries. Because we're very sensitive to this issue. Trim it, and you can put the movie in. And Disney drew a line in the sand and said, no, we're not editing it, not even internationally. Well, that kind of gives us a sneak preview of how they would feel about two versions coming out on DVD. I think they're going to say, nope, we support our director, and the way he gave it is the way we're going to offer it. But again, I'm with you. I'm saying, you know, wouldn't it financially make sense to do two that's been an argument I've made on so many films for, you know, two decades. Mm-hmm. I've said, well, gee, if they would have just cut this nude scene, if they would have just taken out this sleazy dialogue, if they would have just taken out this ultra violent scene, this would have been a family friendly movie. They have to do two versions, and they don't.
Yeah, it is amazing, you know, that they do this themselves, especially, you know, last time I checked, I believe they're beholden to their stockholders. And, you know, but, you know, like everything else, this is what we love about the free market. It will speak up and respond. And, you know, Disney may get it. They may not. I mean, we already know what Hollywood does. They beat to their own drum or march to their own drum. And that's, you know, they do so at a great expense, I believe, and expense all the way around, because the people here, you know, in this country, we lose out on some of this opportunity and creativity, right?
Yep, absolutely. I agree.
Well, congratulations as always, Robert. You know, the great work that Focus is doing with what you do with Plugged In and that outstanding work. Really appreciate it. And thank you for being on with us.
Thank you, Bill.
Bob Waliszewski, I'm Bill Martinez live.
Attention investors, 2017 is the year of Trump, and financial markets are rising at all-time highs. But economic uncertainty may be greater than after any election in our lifetime. And as retirement approaches, there's little time to recover your losses. You need to hedge against uncertainty. That means transferring part of your retirement to physical gold and silver stored where you can actually hold it in your hand and get it fast in any disaster. It's a perfect time to buy. Prices are low and expected to climb. Make Augusta Precious Metals your personal gold and silver provider. Augusta cares for your financial position and helps you make good decisions. And they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Get Augusta's free gold and silver IRA guide. What you learn could help you weather any economic storm. There's no obligation. Just call toll-free. Call 855-222-5857. That's 855-222-5857. Again, 855-222-5857. Trust Augusta. Protect your retirement today.
Have you ever...